is Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on your official home of the Flames, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Well, let's get the Friday edition of Sportsnet Today underway. You're live here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, coming at you from our Sportsnet 960 downtown studios in beautiful Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Yes, Logan Gordon along with you for the next 2 hours, leading you into Flames Talk this afternoon with Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson. Lots to get to on the show today. We'll chat with Peter Labardius in just moments here. Your final day without Flames hockey for the week. You'll get back at it tomorrow night with some hockey night in Canada, Flames and Oilers. Oilers with a win last night against the Chicago Blackhawks in an interesting game filled with penalties. We'll talk to Lou about that coming up in just a few moments here. We have a trade in the NHL this afternoon. The Vancouver Canucks have acquired Ethan Bear, the former Oilers defenseman from the Carolina Hurricanes. So we'll dive into that as well. Plus, we'll check in with Matty Rose for a live edition of the Stamps Report coming up just after 3:30 this afternoon to get you set for kickoff from McMahon Stadium. Tomorrow night, the Stampeders and the Saskatchewan Roughriders in the season finale for both teams and for the CFL's regular season. But let's start the program off like we always do, heading down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline and welcoming in our Flames insider for the Gemini Group Home Renovations. The Gemini Group knows your home renovation should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca. And we welcome in Peter Labardius to the program this afternoon. Lou, how are you, sir?
I am good. I am just recovering from taking my son to the new Rock movie last night.
Oh.
That was an experience. But I'm good.
How's little Lou doing?
Little Lou is not so little, and he's doing very fine. In fact, I think he is now, it's not saying much.
No.
A hell of a lot better looking than Dad, and now he's even a little taller than Dad.
Good to hear, man. Good to hear. Glad you got to spend some time with him there. Yeah, we're back at it tomorrow. One more day off of Flames hockey. We'll back at it and back at it in fine fashion with the Battle of Alberta. How excited are you for tomorrow night at the Saddle Dome?
I'm awfully excited about it. I thoroughly enjoyed game number one and probably more interested in this game than even that one because, we're a few weeks down the road now. Oilers are going to play 3-4 after winning in St. Louis in a game I thought they were very impressive. Last night, I don't even know what to do with that one, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that in this respect. There was no 5-on-5 play in almost the whole night. So it was that one was unique. But these, any time you get a chance, and we've been pretty fortunate, Logan, we have seen a lot of really good teams come through the Saddle Dome already, and the Oilers are just another one of them, although it's never just another one of them, especially now that it's them. And what I really like, and I've said this before, we're never getting back, for us older people, even though I'm not that old, but we're never getting back some of the things from the 80s and early 90s. But I think right now, this is as close to that as there has been since. So these are two good teams. Real good teams.
Yeah, and that's not something that we've been able to say very often at the same time.
No. And that's why it hasn't been and wasn't what it used to be. There's society, there's the way the game is played, there's the types of people that play it. It's different, and it's better in some ways as far as skill level. But, back in the day, the comparison I make, although, back in the 80s, the Oilers had, 5, 6, 7 Hall of Famers in their lineup at any one time, and Calgary was always the team that maybe didn't have the same kind of superstars, but played their tails off, and they made it difficult, and they had a really deep group with size. And I see in that vein, at least, some similarity now more than ever before.
You mentioned it earlier. Obviously, these two teams have met once already this season. It was game two of the year for the Calgary Flames, a Saturday night up in Edmonton, a 4-3 victory for Daryl Sutter's crew. A couple of weeks later now, we meet again tomorrow night at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. Any aspects of that game that you want to see continue for the Calgary Flames from that first win against the Oilers back on the 15th of October, Lou?
Yeah, if they could play three periods like the first, it would be fantastic. I don't think that's a reasonable ask because they had a 4-1 lead. And if you remember, Dylan Dubé rang one off the goalpost late in the first that could have made it 5-1 and might have, you know, really put that game out of reach. But, you know, that's the fascinating thing about playing Edmonton is when you have the people they have, you're never comfortable. But here's what I would like to see more of. And we saw it in the first period. And, you know, it's not easy to do because those guys are going to get theirs and they're going to have some chances. But what I do not want to see is the Flames to get into any kind of trading chances type game. It's not their game, whether it's against the Oilers or anyone else. You know, they're about making you play all 200 feet, checking in all three zones, spending quality offensive zone time. And I know it's the biggest cliche that I use. Logan, there's no better way to deal with elite level people than making them deal with you. It's just, it's the best recipe. So, you know, the Flames certainly have had some marvelous stretches already this season. They're going to need to be at their best tomorrow, but that's what it's all about. I just want people to remember, regardless, and I'll be as juiced up as I've been for any game because it is different now, and I enjoy the daylights out of those kind of games when there's a buzz and it matters and people are into it and talking about it. It's not a, you know, it's not going to be Tuesday night against, you know, Seattle. And that's not taking anything away. It just isn't. So it's going to be fun. I expect the Oilers certainly to be far more ready than they were off the get-go in the first meeting. I think it has a chance to be a whale of a game. And the first game was a whale of a game.
One thing that a lot of people talked about after that first game was the decision and the performance, decision to start, and I guess the performance of one Dan Vladar. It's a question we're asking again heading into this one because of a couple different things, Lou. I think obviously Dan's performance in the first game in Edmonton bears to reason that he might get another start, but I think also a lot of people heard Daryl Sutter say, hey, in an ideal world, we'd like to see Dan get a start a week, and these are your only two games this week. You played Jacob earlier in the week. Is this a chance to get him in there? It's something I know Pat's talked about on Flames Talk. I'm curious where you would go tomorrow night with the goaltenders for the Calgary Flames.
Well, this is a good question. Nothing will surprise me, and one of the reasons is it's early. I do know this, your goalie has come off his most complete effort. You're only going to play this team three times during the regular season. You don't play them again until December 27th, and I'll be excited about that game too, Logan, but I find the first game back after Christmas is never a great representation most times of any team and how they want to be at a high level, so that one is always an asterisk for me in the analyzing department. I'm trying to dance around this the best I can, don't you think?
You're doing a pretty good job. You're doing a waltz.
Thanks.
Right,
I'm
around
good at it.
Yeah,
I'm good at it. Here's how I'll answer it, and I had to answer it on Oilers Radio an hour ago, and I've had two conversations about it at Edge, where I currently am watching some hockey. so it's topical. What you want to accomplish tomorrow is the guy you feel that's going to give your team the best chance to win. But the most important thing for me, and it's two things. What does Daryl and the coaching staff think is best when really the eye is always on the prize and it's not October the 29th? That's not the prize. And that's not going to be the prize for this team. It's getting in the playoffs and then taking another step, if possible, from where you were a year ago. I'm going Jacob, but won't be surprised if they go the other way. And here's the reason I might go Jacob. Where is he in the conversation in terms of this guy is an incredible battler? It's what he's been thinking about, I'm sure, all summer long, was how it didn't go well for him last year in that playoff series. But if you've ever coached, you have to find the balancing act between knowing your athlete well enough to know if this is the time or isn't it. And I know that's not a great answer for you. And the reason I'm not giving you one is I don't have one. Because I can really see it from about 12 different sides. But I think Jacob's going to play tomorrow.
Yeah, I think I'm in that's where I am too. I think Jacob's going to play tomorrow. That's just my guess.
Your guy.
Yeah, that's exactly.
He's your guy. I understand. I don't think I would have played him in the first game either in Edmonton. He wasn't feeling great. Still trying to find his game. As I said, going into that game on the pregame show that night, I'm not sure there's any player much more important than making sure your number one goalie, who came off a very tough season-ending series, that he gets back in a groove and feels good about himself. So whatever that takes and whatever that method is, that's what I'm doing. And so, I think it's going to be him. He's your guy. That's probably the way I'd go. But like I said, I try not to second guess. And one of the things I'm always going to do on this show is I'm not going to react like it's game 7 of the second round of the playoffs, because it isn't.
Yeah, and I think that's important in all of this too is, in the big picture, in the grand scheme of it all, if it is Jacob tomorrow, does the result mean anything if these two teams meet up in April or May? Probably not. I really don't know that anything that we might see out of Jacob tomorrow on October, 29th has very much bearing one way or the other. Maybe the team on the other side wears the same colors and has some of the same people, Lou, but I really don't know that it's going to change how I feel about it. If the Flames are healthy and everything's equal, Jacob Markstrom's your starter in any playoff series against Edmonton. That's pretty much how I see it.
You know how it's going to be handled by the players tomorrow? And they'll be really excited. It's a Saturday night. There'll be lots of buzz in the building. People don't want to hear it. It really is just two more points.
Nope.
Sorry. And you know what? I would answer it differently later in the year. I really would.
I believe it, yeah.
Chances are there'd be more on the line. Might be a game where you're even... let's say they played the last day of the regular season and something was on the line. But what I don't think people understand, and I don't, it's not like I have the game plan in front of me. I mean, I know who has the plan, and I trust in the plan, and it's the two-time winner of the Stanley Cup as a head coach. So he knows exactly what's best for his team, in the situation. And I guarantee you he doesn't look at October 29th much differently than he looked at 3 days ago, or in some respects, he's going to look at November 1st against Seattle. Right now, if you are coaching any team early in a season, believe it or not, you are really consumed by getting your team to progress and get better and better and better. And I know people don't want to hear that, but it's the truth. It's absolutely the truth.
We're chatting with our Flames insider. He is Peter Labardius, the color voice on Flames Radio here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan, getting you set for the Flames and the Oilers tomorrow night from the Scotiabank Saddle Dome, round two of this season's three-round Battle of Alberta. I guess let's talk a bit on the other side, Lou. Last two nights, Flames fans have had an opportunity without the Flames being in action to potentially turn on the TV and see what's going on with Edmonton. You mentioned it earlier. I just wanted to quickly, I haven't seen a second period like what I watched last night between Edmonton and Chicago ever in my hockey watching life. It was penalty after penalty after penalty, frustration penalty, mouthing off from the bench. It was as wild a period as I've ever seen from the officials, and you're right. I'm not going to try for a gosh damn second to try to analyze what the hell it was all about and what it means for anything. But the Oilers have now won three in a row and are starting to feel a little bit better about themselves. That win in St. Louis, to me, was the one that was really impressive for the Oilers this week.
They played a terrific hockey game against a terrific opponent. And the only reason I will scrutinize this game a little bit more than some other games is because of the quality of the opponent, not just because it's Edmonton. And they're a very, very good team. And they have, he's got two hat tricks already. Draisaitl scores the winner on the most disappointing thing of that game last night was you don't see Jonathan Toews turn over pucks in that situation very often.
No,
but
not.
He did last night. That led to the game winner. Scott, you have got to dictate to the Oilers how you want the game to be played. And we've already gone over it. They have weapons that other people don't have. And you're not going to deal with them perfectly for three periods. It's not going to happen. It's just, they're too good. But the one area of their group that I still think is in flux, and maybe even more in flux with the absence of Duncan Keith, is on the back. And that's not to suggest that they don't have good players there and good young players. But one of the reasons the Flames jumped out early in that game in Edmonton is because they put a lot of heat on the Oilers in their own zone. And that's going to be modus operandi, because if you take penalties and you don't do a good job in transition, which has been a bit of an issue at times for the Flames this year, you're going to have trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So I know what it's going to boil down to, and that's what makes it great. I like the Flames' chances in every game against a good opponent this year, because I think they're deeper and better and more equipped to handle whatever's thrown at them.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this one, too. I think there's a lot. I think there's, you know, the overriding topic to me of, you know, how are you better prepared for a team like Edmonton in a playoff series? If you do happen to meet them, that's always there. And I can't get enough of good hockey. And I think these are two good hockey teams. And on a Saturday night, that's one of my favorite things to do. I know it is for you too,
100%.
Lou. Watching two good hockey teams go at it.
That's it for me at any level. I mean, I love highly competitive sports where you're in buildings where it feels like there's a lot on the line. There's nothing like it for me in life.
No.
So, you know, I enjoy the living daylights out of those kind of scenarios too much. Too much.
Before I let you go, pal, I wanted to get your thoughts on a transaction that we saw in the NHL today. Feels like it's been a long time coming, but Ethan Bear has a new NHL home. He's off to the Vancouver Canucks in exchange for a fifth-round pick. I guess just some initial thoughts from you when you got the word on that deal.
What part of Vancouver's team did we spend 10 minutes talking about yesterday?
Believe it was their back end.
It was their back end. So I wasn't surprised. Ethan was not finding his way into the Hurricanes top six on a regular basis. There's lots of game there. There's lots of game left there. Vancouver, you know, they need help right now in that area. So made all the sense in the world when I saw that move pop up today.
Ethan Bear, the 25-year-old defenseman, formerly of the Edmonton Oilers, now on his way to the Vancouver Canucks. Carolina's going to retain some salary in that deal. And look, it's interesting to me, too, Peter, before we move on from that, you know, for a guy like Ethan, who's just 25 years old, almost 200 games of experience, I think obviously the salary is hard to work around when you're at $2.2 million and you haven't found your way onto an NHL roster. But, I mean, for Vancouver, I'll spend a fifth-round pick to take a chance on a guy like that all day.
Well, he's 25. Ethan, you know, going back to his days, especially in the Western League, where, you know, in his final year he was a top defenseman in the Western League and helped Seattle to the 2017 Western Hockey League title. And if I'm not mistaken, had in the neighborhood of 25 or 26 points in their journey to get to Windsor in the Memorial Cup. So, you know, he's always been a very heady, smart, can shoot at a ton, earmarked, I think, for a second power play type role. But everything depends on your team and the fit. And I think Ethan's still at a point where he has to play. He's had some injury concerns, you know, has to continue to grow on the checking side of the game, because with really, really good teams, that's so vitally important. So, listen, as sometimes we all find out in life, certain fits or certain situations that seem like they're going to be great don't work out. But he's 25. You know, he's a Western Canadian. I hope it works out for him. I really like him. I like him as a person. I like his story. He certainly has been a role model in his own community, in the Indigenous community, for a long time. I know how much he's loved in Saskatchewan, you know, in his hometown and in that area. So I hope it works out for him. I really do.
Lou, you're the best. Always appreciate the time, sir. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, and we'll see you at the Dome tomorrow for a Battle of Alberta. Take it easy, pal.
Yeah. Going back into a hockey rink to watch more hockey. Stunner.
Stunning.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
See you, Lou. There you go. Our Flames insider, Peter Labardius, joining us down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. He is our Flames insider, and he is brought to you every single day here on Sportsnet today by the Gemini Group. The Gemini Group Home Renovations knows that your home renovation should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference, now offering Air Miles Reward Miles. Visit GeminiGroup.ca. We'll take a break. Come back on the other side. Stampeders wrapping up their final practice of the regular season today. A couple of key veterans speaking, including Bo Levi Mitchell, who may be making his final appearance in a Stampeders uniform at McMahon tomorrow. He did a media availability. We'll hear from Bo Levi Mitchell next and get your thoughts on the text line about his future with the Stampeders. Is it here? Is it somewhere else? We'll talk some Calgary Stampeders football next here on Sportsnet 960.
You're listening to Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on the home of the Flames, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Week 21 of the CFL season kicks off tonight from Winnipeg. Nathan Rourke and the BC Lions taking on the Winnipeg Blue Bombers for a triple header of CFL action on Saturday. Welcome back to Sportsnet today. It's Logan Gordon along with you. And there's not a lot of storylines in the last week of the regular season across the CFL. We talked to Justin Dunk a little bit earlier on in the week, and you know, his big thing was, hey, it's really going to be watching Nathan Rourke on Friday night and seeing how healthy he is from coming back from that Lisfranc foot injury. Most teams aren't starting a full complement of players, at least the ones that are heading to the playoffs at least. And in a couple of cases, if you're Saskatchewan, you're, you know, getting a look at some of your newer players or some of your players that you have questions about heading into next year, perhaps. That's why we'll see Mason Fine get the start for Saskatchewan on Saturday. But I think there's one more storyline, and one specifically in this city that I don't know if it's been talked about as much as I thought it would be. And this is where I'll bring you guys in on the fan feedback line, 960-960. With Calgary traveling to BC for the West semifinal, that means that Saturday night will be the last time that the Stamps play at McMahon this season. They win against BC, they'll head to Winnipeg, and then of course the Grey Cup this year is in the heart of Ryderville in Regina, Saskatchewan. So we won't see any more games at McMahon. Which means it could be a farewell to Bo Levi Mitchell tomorrow at the at McMahon Stadium. Almost said at the Saddle Dome, not at the Saddle Dome. He had a very interesting media availability today. It was a retrospective in a lot of ways. You'll hear Jameer Thurman, the longtime Stampeders linebacker, get in with the media assembled at McMahon today. It, of course, includes our own Matty Rose. Danny Austin from Post Media is in this as well. And it was interesting to hear what Bo had to say ahead of what could be his last. He might not even start. He's not starting tomorrow. Mayer is on top of the depth chart. But he could get into the game. It could be the last time that we see Bo in a Stampeders uniform at McMahon Stadium tomorrow night. I was curious to hear what Bo Levi had to say, and here it is. Here's his media availability following practice, I guess walkthrough today on Friday, at McMahon Stadium with the Calgary media. Here it is, Bo Levi Mitchell.
Well, what do you want tomorrow?
Shoot, man, for us to win in front of the fans, the last game here. You know, I know obviously everybody's wondering whether or not I'll play. I mean, I'm not going to be offended if I don't get in. I want to see us go out there and play good football. And I just want to be ready to help this team win a Grey Cup, man.
What's your emotions here knowing, you know, could be some big changes in the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, nothing yet. You know, it might hit me tomorrow during the game or something towards the end of the game. You know, spent a lot of time in this stadium. And, you know, just it won't be the last time I play in the stadium. So.
Does it, I think, whatever happens in the future, I think the fans would like a chance to acknowledge you somehow in the game tomorrow. I don't know. Is for that reason alone, would you want to set foot on the field?
Yeah, I mean, I would always want to for the fans. You know, just to give them, you know what they would like. You know, it's not always in everybody's control. You know, I've talked to Dave and told him, you know, I don't need a hoorah moment. You know, I just want to be here for this team, you know, in the playoffs or in the Grey Cup if I'm able to help this team win. You know, so whatever he has to do to make that happen is, you know, we've talked and, you know, I just want to make sure people understand it's not definitely not on Dave if I don't get in the game.
All things considered, you seem to be handling this big changeover pretty well. I don't know what that says or just thoughts on it because, you know, it's a difficult time, I'm sure, at some levels.
Yeah, man, sports, you know, it's a marriage, but you're always going to get divorced. You know, that's just one of those things. So you definitely have to, you know, handle yourself the way you want to be perceived the rest of your life. You know, I could act like a child or I can act like a professional. I've always acted like a professional when it comes to my job, and you know, I'm just going to continue to handle myself that way.
Who's going to win the World Series?
Shoot. Sweet. Astros. Okay.
Yes, they would,
okay.
You're the greatest quarterback in Stampeders history. Probably one of the greatest quarterbacks in the CFL.
Yeah,
ever.
I appreciate
there
you.
There is.
I you appreciate
know,
you.
There one thing you want to say to guys that you played with, you know,
you
that possibly
might. Man, y'all about to get fired because that was a question right there.
You know. that you possibly want to say to these guys, you know, that have been there with you, you know, I won a Grey Cup with you, you know, won a lot of games together, you know, you are my QB1, always, so.
Dang, now you're gonna make me cry. man, yeah, I mean, obviously it's a thank you to everybody that I have played with, you know, obviously yourself included, Alex, guys that, you know, that we've bled with on the field and made it all the way, because, you know, I'm not me, and 19 doesn't mean as much without everybody I played with, including yourself. So definitely thank you to everybody I played with, all the coaches I played with here. And I'll never say a bad thing about anybody in this organization, this team, coach, you know, player included. I've loved every minute I've been here, and I look forward to every minute I get to play against you, too.
You will have that.
There you go. That's Bo Levi Mitchell, quarterback for the Calgary Stampeders, speaking to the media today following a walkthrough ahead of the Stamps' final game at McMahon tomorrow. And I thought it was interesting. That was the first time, really, that I feel Bo has acknowledged his time in Calgary coming to an end. Cody Fajardo did something similar as far as last week in Saskatchewan. But with all due respect to Cody, he doesn't have the legacy that Bo has here. And I'm curious, from a fan's perspective, at 960-960, is it important for you? Bo says it doesn't matter to him. If he gets in tomorrow, great. He doesn't need a send-off. This, he said it himself. He said this won't be his last time at McMahon Stadium playing. A vague reference, no doubt, to his return next year with another team. But is it important to the fans to see Bo Levi Mitchell come back and or come into the game and get a final send-off? As a Stamps fan, as a football fan, does that matter to you? 960-960. I'll read some of your texts coming up in just a couple moments. For me, it's simple. I think that Bo should be acknowledged. Given the fact that you won't be back in Calgary at any time again this season, I think you have to acknowledge it. For me, I know others will disagree with this. For me, he's the best quarterback the Stampeders have had. Now, there are other great quarterbacks. Doug Flutie, you know, comes to mind. There's obviously Henry Burris. There's tons of great quarterbacks that have played for the Calgary Stampeders. The head coach is a great quarterback for the Calgary Stampeders. But the longevity, the winning that Bo did, the records that he set, did it fall off at the end? Sure. Let's be honest. An injury to your throwing shoulder as a quarterback is almost a dead-to-rights injury. It's as bad as it can get. I think it's been as noticeable with Bo's deep ball. He used to be one of the best deep ball passers in the CFL, hands down. He hasn't been able to do that properly or have that same touch on the football since he's come back. And yes, there's been a pandemic in between. And yes, there's plenty of reasons why it hasn't worked out. And it's great for the Stampeders that they've had Jake Mayer and that they can have a succession plan. But to me, Bo is still one of, if he's not your greatest Stampeders quarterback of all time, he's in the top three. I can't even say top five because it's got to be top three. To me, it's important to acknowledge that. And look, maybe you can say, okay, it can be acknowledged when he comes back, if he comes back with another team. It doesn't feel the same to me. I get it's an awesome, I get that it's a meaningless game. I hate to say that, but it really is. There's very little to get interested in tomorrow. It's already a terrible scheduling night with the Stamps at 6 and the Flames and Oilers at 8. Then add into it that I really don't think there's a lot of intrigue. Saskatchewan, they've had an awful season. Even Riders fans that would be excited for their one trip to McMahon this season aren't going to really show out tomorrow night, because why would they? You can go see Mason. Okay, maybe. You want to look at Mason Fine ahead of next offseason's quarterback battle? Okay. Have at it. You know, I get if you're a Stamp season ticket holder, you're a fan, you want to see them one more time, sure. But to me, it's all about Bo in this. I think he needs a proper send-off. I think you do that at home in front of the home fans. I know that he said all the right things, and that's the best part about it to me, is that until today, and even today, he did it with class. I don't think anything that Bo said there was inflammatory or is going to make Stampeders fans look at his legacy differently. I think he was just being honest. And hey, you know what? I plan on being back here again sometime. Maybe it's not going to be with the Calgary Stampeders, but I don't plan on this being my last game at McMahon. He had nothing but good things to say about his teammates, nothing but good things to say about the organization. I think the guy deserves a send-off, a worthy one. Is it going to be the ideal one because of what the game is this season? Probably not. But at the same time, I think it's still a worthy thing to talk about. 960-960, the fan feedback line is always open to you here on Sportsnet 960. Some thoughts on Bo Levi. How do you look back at his legacy here in Calgary? Do you want to see him get a send-off, a proper send-off tomorrow? Does it matter? Would you rather it be next year when he's with Team XYZ, whoever it is? Some of the texts here. This text says, is it always this rough watching the end of a quarter, a Stampeders quarterback time end here? I ask as a fan from the Henry Burris era on. I think it should be. I think in reality, if your team does a good enough job bringing in the next guy, it should always be hard to say goodbye. I think there is absolutely a 99.9% chance that if Bo wants to play football somewhere next year, he'll get an opportunity. Is it Toronto? Is it Saskatchewan? I don't know. It's too early to have those conversations, but I absolutely think he's going to be back. But the reason it's so hard to say goodbye to him is because he was great while he was here. The winning percentage is through the roof. For the first couple years of his career, the team didn't lose at home. For a long time, they laid ass whoopings on other teams. They should have three or four Grey Cups, really, in Bo's tenure. A couple of those didn't go their way. There was some weird weather in one. I mean, you could be talking about not only Bo as one of the best Stampeders quarterbacks of all time, but one of the best CFL quarterbacks. I think there are some that will put him in that conversation. But, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, we could honestly be talking about a world very easily where Bo has four, maybe five Grey Cups for the Stampeders. That's not all that crazy to think that that was conceivable. And that should be hard to say goodbye to. You hope that with Jake Mayer taking the reins, however long down the line it is, that it's hard to say goodbye to him because it was so good. This text says, I'd love to see Bo get some snaps for the fans to send him off. To me, it's pretty important. This text says, as awesome as Bo was for Calgary, I have a hard time putting him ahead of Garcia or Dickey, but Bo is a Stampeder for life. And that kind of goes to a text that comes in a little bit later that says, best Stamps quarterbacks of all time. What a great conversation that would be. Yeah, it's as tough as anything. Garcia, I didn't even throw in Garcia. That's as stupid as it gets when I was just throwing out names. The Stampeders have just a rich history of quarterback, and for Bo to be in that conversation as one of the greatest of all time is, you know, to me, only a compliment on what the guy's achieved here. Another text says, yeah, Huff's in that conversation. Sure is. Huff, Burris, Garcia, Flutie, Mitchell. The list goes on, and Bo's right up there with the greats. He'll have his number up there on the Stampeders Wall of Fame very soon. This text comes in from David. Says, agree with you, Logan. He deserves to be recognized with the legacy that he's built here. Mike says, not the same magnitude as Kiprasov, but along the same lines in what could be his last game in front of us, he absolutely needs to play. This text says, if Jake gets hurt and Bo were to come in and win one more ring, do you still let him go? I think so. I think the money that Bo Levi commands is going to be valuable at different spots for this Calgary Stampeders roster going forward. And I think you've committed to Jake. At this point, you've committed to Jake Mayer being the guy. I think Bo wants a chance to be a starting quarterback again. I guess if Calgary could offer him every opportunity to come in and compete for the job, maybe he stays in Calgary, but that's at a much lesser dollar figure compared to a couple of different spots around the CFL. This text, a couple about, you know, the decision that Bo made a couple years ago. This text says, do you think Bo will regret not going to the NFL 3 years ago? And this next text says, Bo chose to stay in the CFL and be the face of the league. Yeah, those to me go hand in hand. I don't think Bo regrets not going to the NFL when he went through that summer of tryouts. I know for a fact that there were offers on the table for Bo. I think that the opportunity, to me it's so hard to have that conversation of, because the one thing that the CFL can offer you that the NFL can't in some respects for certain players is that acknowledgement. And I'm not saying this is an ego thing for Bo, by the way. But I'm saying you can go to Calgary and make good money as a starter, as the best quarterback in the league, and people want to talk to you after for media avail. You look in the stands and there's number 19 jerseys all over the place. Those are bonuses that you don't get as the third string quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings, where nobody knows your name and you don't get a game check most weeks because you're on the practice roster. I don't think he regrets. That's a question for Bo, and I think that maybe it'll be one that you ask him one day after his career. I don't think he regrets it. I mean, you can always go back and say, hey, maybe you were an injury away from getting a chance. Would it have been different if you could have gone out and played a couple of NFL preseason games and showed out? I mean, maybe, but there's difference. The importance is different for different people, if you know what I mean. The acknowledgement part of it, I think, is interesting. More people just throwing in the quarterbacks list. I know, I'm sorry. I know, I'm trying not to forget anybody. And I know the text line, there's so many historians of Stampeders football on the text line. Jerry Keeling, Peter Liske, Federick is on that list. Yes, I'm sorry. I can't get to everything on there. The Stampeders quarterback conversation would be a fantastic one if you wanted to rank them all. But yes, if I missed perhaps your favorite Stampeder quarterback, forgive me. Forgive me for that. A couple more texts here at 960-960. This one's got the fan feedback line all fired up. This one says he deserves the send-off for his on-field performances alone, not to mention how much stuff Bo did for the community off of the field, his work with charities, etc. And that goes hand-in-hand with the text that comes in just a few seconds later. This text says, Bo showed up to a photo op, a quote-unquote photo op, at a rugby program for autistic kids a few years back. The plan was just for him to be there 15 to 20 minutes. He stayed for 2.5 hours, played alongside the kids. The football player he is secondary to the person he is. Yeah, and that side of it has never been a question for Bo. And that's part of why I think it's important. I totally agree with those texts that say, hey, it's not just the on-field stuff. There are great players that have been great players on the field for 1 or 2 years, and that's fantastic. They're here to play football. But for Bo to be the presence in the community and the leader that he was off the field, yeah, totally. Couldn't agree more. And as a guy that was here at 960 when Bo was doing the Bo show, as a few people have mentioned on the text line. Yeah, The guy's a stand-up human being and has done a ton for different charities. There's hardly a charity event when, you know, things were normal in the world pre-pandemic that Bo wasn't available. And he's got a family and he's got kids of his own, but he always made time for the Calgary community. And he made Calgary his home. And I think that's why a lot of people resonated with Bo as the starter. Because in the CFL, it's so rare. Maybe it's not rare for the Stampeders, but it's rare for others. Right? It's rare for other teams that you have a quarterback that wants to make your city a home in the CFL. Bo did that. He's a Calgary native. I think you'll always love Calgary. Thank you for the fan feedback line, 960-960. Really appreciate all the conversation around that. Thought it was a great chat with Bo Levi Mitchell and the media earlier today. Stamps back in action tomorrow night, 6 o'clock kickoff from McMahon Stadium. We'll chat with Matty Rose just after 3:30 for a later edition of the Stamps Report, a live one ahead of that game tomorrow. Maybe we'll get into some of this with him coming up just after 3 o'clock as well. We'll take a break, come back on the other side. Sportsnet Today continues. No Hockey PDO cast. That means hour 2 of Sportsnet 96. Let's try that again. There is no Hockey PDO. I hear my producers laughing at me in the other room. Get out of here. Shut up, you hooligans. Taylor and Cam over there snickering at me. Stupid web guy across my face here. Get out of here.
That was quite aggressive there, Logan.
I've had enough of your snickerings over there.
Don't pull me into this.
I can't talk. You guys were out eating pizza last night, and now you're all snarky with me. Let me try this again. There is no Hockey PDO cast next. Dmitry Filipovich is feeling under the weather again. So we're going to go to hour 2 of Sportsnet Today. And it's coming up next on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.